Lenten Retreat with Father Don De Castro. Meditation number 6.
The New Evangelization. The new evangelization has been the favorite topic of Pope Benedict, and he has been speaking about it all the time and all the days, all the weeks and all the months, to everybody to whom he gets in contact with, to bishops, guests, and so on. It is important for him because of a defect he has found in the previous evangelization being used by the Catholic Church that began around the 17th century up to the present. He found so many defects together with the theological council of theologians. And he pinpointed the defect that is found in the method and structure of the old evangelization, not the one taught by Christ, but the one just taught around the 17th century, and the contents. And we have explained in the past meditation what were the mistakes in those evangelization and what is the correct way of doing it, as Pope Benedict had taught us. And we don't have to discuss all the errors in the contents of this evangelization, previous evangelization. And let us just concentrate on what should be the correct contents essential for this new evangelization, which is similar to the classical or original evangelization taught by Christ, the apostles, the fathers of the church, and the saints of the church. Last meditation, we began with the first contents, which should be conversion. The second content should be entrance into the Catholic Church or entrance into the Kingdom of God by union with Jesus Christ, the created soul of the Catholic Church. And part of the second content is union with the Holy Spirit, the uncreated soul of the Catholic Church. After that is what you call eternal life. So in fact, there are just four topics, four contents of what we are supposed to learn, just four. And we began with conversion, last meditation, describing the state of sin of a person. We describe a person in the state of sin, using the words of St. Augustine, as one who enjoys the world, one who loves, who possesses, and enjoys the things of the world, in complete disregard in finding out who is God or how to love God. Complete disregard. Now, the first step for conversion, the first step that a person is on the way towards conversion, which is the first contents of the essentials for the new evangelization, is found in the parable of the prodigal son. And the sign that your conversion has begun is the fact that one day you stand up, maybe you wake up, and suddenly all these worldly things that attracted you, that took away your focus from God, seems hopeless and useless and meaningless. Now, this is short of a miracle. I think nobody would ever consider the things of the world useless or meaningless. The things of the world is much fun and enjoyable. And so the first sign of conversion is everything in the world became useless. Everything you were doing, everything, every person has become meaningless. And that is what happened to the prodigal son. He was enjoying himself in a far country with friends, eating, drinking, and so on. Suddenly, everything, he lost it, symbolizing the fact that suddenly he considered all these things meaningless and found himself feeding pigs. Now, this is important. That is why you would notice that the first apostles and all the saints always left all things. When Christ called Peter and Andrew, James and John and Matthew, the first demand that Christ gave them is to leave all things. If you read the lives of the saints, they all left all things. Now, that is almost impossible for most of the people in the world. Nobody would ever leave all things after working so hard for all things. But that's because people in the world are not being converted. The first step of conversion is the fact that the apostles and the saints suddenly consider all things and all people meaningless. And it is this experience precisely that enabled them to leave all things. There is nothing in this world, absolutely nothing in this world, that can make you leave all things except this first step of conversion. The moment you begin to feel that everything is useless and meaningless, you begin to give them no importance. So you become careless with them. You start giving them away, distributing them, and sometimes just totally give them all away, which the apostles did, and which many of the saints did. And the moment you do this, suddenly there is something inside your soul. It is an act of the mind and an act of the free will that you begin to develop knowledge of monsters that are arising within the depths of your soul. Monsters that you never realized that they were there. Nameless monsters. And you're afraid. And it is an earth-shaking experience. You try to push them down, but they keep on going up. Then you begin to suspect. They are your sins. Your personal sins. First, a name. But now slowly arising, and you're forced to give them their proper names. So what you thought was charitable before was really an act of pride. What you think was good works before was actually an act of stealing. So before, most of your sins had beautiful names. Now, you're beginning to give them the right proper names, and they are ugly. And this is an earth-shaking experience that really changes a person totally and overnight, because it is a very painful experience that many people, when they begin experiencing this, begins to run away from it. You should not. It is the second step of experiencing conversion. Very painful, very dramatic, very soul-searching, and a change in your whole life. But you have to face it, because it is the second step. And so suddenly in this second step, you find yourself holding all your sins in your hands with nowhere to hide. You standing just like the prodigal son with all your sins on your hands. You are standing flat-footed. And then suddenly, grace enters your heart, and you begin to see God outside of you, in front of you. The God that you have totally forgotten, whom you never thought about, is now suddenly face to face with yourself. A God outside of yourself, in front of yourself, looking at you with all your sins in your hands. What do you feel? Oh, really nothing. Except that when you look at this God, He is demanding atonement. He is not a merciful God who is absolving you or giving you merciful forgiveness as He looks at you with your sins in your hands. No. He is a God of justice demanding atonement for your sins. That's the second step. And so in conversion, you go to the third step. And the third step is this. You find that you have no way of atoning for your sins. You have offended a God greatly, an eternal God that demands eternal atonement, and you cannot do it. You have no way of paying for your sins. You want to be forgiven. You want to approach Him, but He is demanding atonement. What are you going to do? You go into despair, like the prodigal son. He looks at his father and says, "Oh, Father, I have sinned against you. Consider me as one of your paid servants. As a son, I cannot pay you. I cannot atone for my sins. Maybe as a servant, I can do some atonement, not fully, because I have offended an eternal God. Maybe as a servant, I can partially atone, but not fully." But God is merciful, and we all know that. He just wants that we take our first step towards Him. Do what you can do to atone. Whatever you can do cannot be fully compensate for your sin. But God in His mercy says, "Well, do a little. What you can do, just a little. Return a few steps. You have taken 10 steps away from me. Return 5 steps." And the prodigal son returned 5 steps. Now, what do you mean by returning 5 steps? 5 steps means start to develop the 4 moral virtues. You cannot continue your sins while returning 5 steps. Those 5 steps are sinless lives of men. It is a sinless, a life without any sin. It is a life of virtue, a life of the 5 moral virtues. It is a 5 moral virtue life, 5 steps. I mean, there are 4 moral virtues, but the 5 steps we are describing is made up of 4 moral virtues. In other words, you are not doing anything immoral anymore as you return 5 steps. During those return, 5 steps return, your life is completely moral, meaning to say sinless. When God sees you taking those 5 steps back, He meets you halfway. The father, the parable says, seeing his son returning, met him halfway and embraced him. Now when God the Father is embracing you, don't celebrate right away. You must remain with that despairing attitude of, "Father, I have sinned against you, and there is no way I can atone. I have taken 5 steps, that's all I can afford. I still owe you 5 steps. but I cannot afford it. I cannot. There's nothing in me that I can do to atone for my sins. Just stay that way as God the Father embraces you. Wait until it gets the new robe and the new ring and places it on you. What did the Father say after that? Let us celebrate. He says, because my son was lost. He went away from me 10 steps. But now he has returned. He has been found. And then the Father says, let us celebrate. Pope Benedict, in the contents essential for the new evangelization, mentions conversion as the first step. Today, most of us, using the defective method of evangelization, do not enumerate the 4 steps necessary for conversion. We lack the 4 steps, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 steps. And secondly, our Holy Father says, because most of our teaching lacks the 4 steps, our defect is we celebrate too soon.